Calvin.
Yes.
Where's the truth?
Out there.
And tonight, we're going to find it. Here on Podzilla 1900. What?
Sorry,
what did you look at?
The tattoo parlor across the street has their open sign on, and it caught my attention, and then I thought maybe you left your sign on, and then...
It's a good start.
That's when you started yelling at me.
I didn't yell at you. I was aggressive, passively aggressive. I was aggressively passing the buck to you. It's I Want to Believe here on the Podzilla 1985 Network, and tonight we got a couple of really fascinating stories to tell you guys about. Let me give you the introductions real quick. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to host tonight. With me, as always, Calvin Hebert.
What's up?
And no relation, Ali Hebert.
Hi.
You two might actually be related. I haven't done a 23andMe yet, but...
I don't know. Do we look alike?
No. Not really. One of you is kind of sarcastic and smarmy, and the other... No, it's the same. You're the same. It's the same person. So... Here's the thing tonight, kids, if you're listening to the show. The main topic of the show tonight, we're going to be talking about God. If you know me, if you know my history, God and I don't have a great relationship. I feel like an abused wife in a lot of this in a lot of situations.
Dark.
When it comes to God. So we're going to be discussing the existence of God. We're going to be talking about if God exists, why is he the way he is? If he doesn't exist, how do you explain the universe? All these things we'll be talking about tonight. With that said... If you don't listen to the main part of the show tonight, I completely understand. I know we have a lot of religious listeners. I'm going to try my best to not be insulting or offensive when it comes to discussion about God, because believe it or not, and you might not, I'm actually very respectful of people's beliefs. And the reason this show is called I Want to Believe is because I want to believe. I want to believe in God, but I have some problems with it. We're going to talk about that in the main event tonight, as we say in the professional wrestling world.
And it's all opinion, conjecture, and devil's advocate. It's not meant to mean...
No, because... So,
anything hurtful to anybody.
No, and I know, you know, you and Ali are very versed in the ways of God and the Bible and stuff like that. And I've read it, you know, I've read the Bible, I've studied, but I would never be so arrogant as to say... This definitely is or this definitely isn't. Life to me is open to interpretation. And, you know, just because I don't have the facts that I can say this does exist doesn't mean that I'm outright say it doesn't exist, because I also don't have the facts for that. So I'm not saying from the start of the show that because you believe in God, you're wrong or you're right. I'm also not saying that he does or does not exist. We're just going to explore the possibilities tonight. It's going to be a fun show. I just
asterisk
emoji, yeah, right there. But we do have some stories to start off with that are very not religious. So even if you hate my guts and you don't want to listen to me talk about your Lord and Savior, you can hear me talk about aliens. So let's do that. Sound fun?
Sure.
Okay. Real quick, let me talk about something real quick. Two things. One, you know what tomorrow is?
I know today is Taco Tuesday.
Yes. Why aren't we having tacos for dinner?
Lindsay doesn't like tacos.
Oh, Lindsay Wolfgang, by the way, not here tonight. Unfortunately, she had to work. And it's probably best she's not
here. I mean, if she has to work, then you can eat without her.
I can have Taco Tuesday without her?
Yeah. But only if I can take her place in Taco Tuesday and you get me tacos.
We make the tacos, though.
I mean, tacos are tacos. I don't care.
I don't care how you cut it up. Just give me some tacos. Tomorrow, Allie, do you know what tomorrow is? Think it out. I'm not.
Oh,
trying.
No, yeah, it's 9/11.
It is the anniversary of 9/11, September 11th. I think we've done multiple shows where we kind of go over where we were on 9/11. I'm not going to do that again this month, this year, but it is a very, very important anniversary and important to remember that day and everything that happened and all of the suffering and the togetherness that we've had since then. It's something you should remember. So tomorrow we're going to be talking about wrestling. I doubt we'll squeeze it in. I wanted to squeeze it in today and mention how important that is. Two, and I'm not trying to gloss it over. It's just we have talked at length about 9/11 before.
Go listen to one of our other shows.
Go listen to any show that was on 9/11 before. Two, last night. So Allie goes to bed, and I go say goodnight to Lindsay. I go to the living room. I pour myself a drink of water. Because I'm living the clean life. I tried to as best I can. And Lindsay comes out. Pissed off look on her face, and she says, "Okay, how'd you turn my TV on?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "My TV just turned on," And I obviously didn't do it. So I said, I'm sorry, I didn't.
And she doesn't even have the one of the Roku TVs that uses the same remote as the other TV.
No, it has a separate remote for the television. So I go into her room and I'm like, where's your remote? It's on her nightstand. She couldn't possibly have touched it and I didn't touch it. So I'm going to chalk it up to...
What did it turn on to?
Static.
Oh.
So just static. So nothing. It's not like a game system or something accidentally turned on and it turned the. You know, some TVs will turn on.
Yeah, and sometimes if you like screen share from a phone,
yeah,
it'll turn the TV on.
Nothing like that in this case. It just went to static. I'm going to chalk this up to just faulty electronics. To be fair, so what you do when you're in the paranormal community like we are, after it happened, I sat in there for 5 minutes talking to something that probably wasn't there and telling it, turn the TV on again, move something, nothing happened. So, again, probably faulty electronics. But the funny part is that this isn't the first time that's happened to Lindsay. When we lived in Illinois, when we lived with my parents years ago when we first met and got together, the TV in our bedroom, there was a night or two this happened where it would turn on. And she would come into – we had a separate room that we had our computers in. So she would go to bed, and I would stay up on the computer, and I would write or do whatever I do. And she would come in and say, hey, the TV turned on. I didn't believe her, so I went in her room, and the TV was on still. I turned it off. I'm like, okay, you're crazy, because I thought she was crazy. And I go back to my room. She come in there. 5 minutes later, the TV turned on again. Walk back in. TV's on again. I turned it off. I sat there. I said, I'm going to sit here, and let's see if the TV turns on again. And sure enough, it did. A couple minutes later, the TV turns itself back on. In the middle of the night, it turns itself on and off constantly. We had to unplug the television because it wouldn't stop doing it. Left it unplugged for a day or so, and then the next time we plugged it in, never did it again. I'm going to chalk it up to faulty electronics.
Gremlins.
But I'm not saying that it's not paranormal because paranormal things do seem to happen around me for some reason. When I was in the kitchen last night, right around that same time, I heard talking. Talking to the point that I actually stopped what I was doing and turned around and looked around the living room and said, hello, to make sure I wasn't crazy. A couple minutes later, Lindsay comes in and says, hey, my TV turned on. So is it paranormal? Probably not, but it's something to think about. Okay. That's the personal story. Let's get to the news. This one's from Coast to Coast AM, a wonderful, wonderful radio program that I encourage everybody to listen to. It is a fairly long story, but I think it's pretty interesting. I wanted to get all the details right. So from Coast to Coast, in a truly bizarre story out of New Mexico, two men claimed that they had a close encounter with what may have been a UFO resembling a circus tent, Calvin, and its alien occupants during a recent hunting trip. Josh Brinkley and Daniel, I think it's Lucero, but I'm going to say Lucario because I think that's more interesting. Daniel Lucario told the Santa Fe New Mexican that their puzzling experiences occurred over Labor Day weekend on a mountain known as Hell. All right.
That's a weird mountain name.
Butcher time. Cerro de la Ola near Taos. Oh, yeah. Come here. Hey, translate this for me. What is that? Am I pronouncing it correctly? Is that close enough? She did it way better than I did, but it's close. It's close enough. Near Taos? Taos? The duo had been camping at the site for the start of a bow hunting season with the hopes of bagging some elk. But they wound up coming home with a far more fantastic story to tell. The weirdness began on the morning of September 1st when the two men were on opposite sides of a field waiting for elk to emerge from the nearby tree line. Now, Bob hunts all the time. And from what I understand, this is what hunting is sitting quietly for hours and seeing nothing.
Yes.
That's the important thing. According to Brinkley, this is important, he grew bored with this tactic after about 3 hours and chose to start hiking through the woods in search of the animals and eventually wound up on top of the mountains. Why somebody would choose to go out to the wilderness for 3 hours and sit quietly when you could be at home playing video games or showering, I don't know.
Eating tacos.
Eating tacos in the shower.
While playing video games.
Shower tacos are the best. It was right there that he allegedly spotted what initially appeared to be two people standing side by side, staring right at him about 35 feet away. He walked across the field between them with the intention of speaking to the two strangers, but when he briefly looked away to maneuver around a bush, they had vanished. Looking back on the encounter, the bow hunter recognized that there was something odd about the duo. He said the shape that would be like their heads, it looked like they had huge hoods on. It looked like two ribbons come off either side to a point at the top and bottom. In the middle of the oval was just gray. I tried to wrap my head around what he's trying to say there.
Thin men?
And I couldn't think of it. What is it?
You think thin men?
Well, I think there's another point in the top and the bottom, in the middle. To me, it almost sounds like he's saying the middle of the hood where the face would be would just be gray.
Oh.
Is what it sounds like to me, but I didn't see anything else mentioned in there about that. But anyway, Hunter's trip took an even stranger turn the following afternoon when Brinkley and Lucario grew frustrated by the fact that they had yet to see a single elk and decided to drive around in their Jeep looking for them. And my hope is that one drove, one was hanging off the side of the Jeep with his gun in his hand.
No, bow. It's a bow.
With a bow, just ready to Rambo it, but, you know, probably not. Along the way, they soon realized that not only were there no elk in the area, which... how do you not know that? No, you know what's fine. I'm not a hunter. I don't know. It appeared as if all the wildlife had fled the scene. The reason for this may have revealed itself when the men noticed a puzzling, out-of-place structure, for lack of a better term, about a quarter mile away from them. Brinkley was quoted as saying to the newspaper, "It's this big tent structure like a circus tent, 50, 60 feet tall." 60 feet tall. Picture that.
A circus tent 60 feet tall.
60-foot circus tent. Coming off the left of it was this long building, almost like what you would build for an archery lane for target practice. It was a third the height, but really long, maybe a couple hundred feet. Amazingly, much like the two mysterious people that he had seen the previous morning, the baffling building disappeared during a brief moment when their vehicle went down a hill and they lost sight of it.
So the idea is that this thing is the saucer, right?
I'm guessing. I'm guessing they drove around trying to find it again. It never returned. Brinkley declared, "I know it was real. It was huge and white, and then it was gone." And asserting they were completely sober during the trip, the pair conceded that people will likely doubt their story, but they insist it really happened. Allie, what was your analysis of this? You think
killer clowns from outer space. Like, if they would have gotten in there, they would have found people in cotton candy cocoons and little clowns running around with guns.
To be fair, just so you guys know, we were on the same page. I name every story that we do. I give it a cute little name. And this one was called Killer Clowns from Outer Space Sequel. So, actually happening. What was it? UFO? Probably the best bet. But the fact that I think they said this was in daylight.
I mean, it wasn't. It was a... unidentified grounded object, like
that.
It was you could landed.
Have, that was a weird noise I just made. I was like, it could have flown away when they lost sight of it. It could have taken off. Maybe that's why they couldn't see it again, or it was a hallucination. I guess
a shared hallucination.
It's weird when two people share the same hallucination, but more than likely,
well, if two people share the hallucination, the likelihood is that it's a mirage.
The same mirage, people would see the same thing.
Well, mirages often look similar from the same perspective.
Okay. Because this just seems weird. A 60-foot tall circus tent. My first instinct when I ever hear a story like this is it's clearly made up. This is a lie. But then you start to wonder yourself, why would someone lie about this? The fame. What fame is this guy going to get from this? He gets his name in a paper, but the name he gets in the paper is probably drunk guy saw 60-foot UFO tent with people with ribbon faces.
Drunk bow hunter and Pokemon find.
Yes. A boy and his Lucario find UFO down in New Mexico. So, I don't know. That's a strange story. I thought it was interesting. It's the first I've ever heard of something like a circus tent. It could be a spinning top style UFO. I mean, there's lots of different UFO styles. You know, there's a cigar shape, there's the triangle, there's the saucer. So it's not completely out of the question that this would be a different style of UFO.
They also have lots of pets, like dragons and...
No, they don't. They don't have any pets. We're their pets.
Well...
No, but on the back of the box of the alien figure I got.
Shout out to your mom. Who may be listening to the show tonight and may not speak to me ever again. We'll see what happens. That could be fun. That's right. No passive aggressive here. I call them like I see them. So can we all just say probably, excuse the language, probably bullshit?
I mean, I would say so.
Okay. So I want to make sure we're all on the same page.
But here. Also, like, haven't they said that UFOs, quote unquote, usually look different when they're landed than when they're flying?
Probably. It's not out of the question to think that UFOs would have different designs. I mean, look at our planes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we have different style planes, you know.
We have different style rockets.
Right. So would it be so far-fetched to believe that there could be different UFOs for different things? Like, maybe this was a ground reconnaissance UFO.
Well, also, thinking of planes is kind of restrictive because to aliens, UFOs might just be cars. How many different car models are there and types? Like
a flying car that can travel.
Also, and like, well, I mean, it might be that basic technology to them.
That's true.
By that point. But also, like, mode of transportation. We have stuff from bicycles to, like, submarines.
So this could be, whereas a regular UFO might be a military vessel,
yeah,
this could have been an RV.
Yeah, it could have been, like, a cruise ship or something.
Party
like,
bus.
Could have been the party bus for aliens. Yeah.
Huh. It's Aliens Gone Wild.
I don't remember seeing the commercial for that one on Comedy Central at 2 in the morning. But give it time, except it'd be on sci-fi.
Yeah.
And it would be hosted by Neil deGrasse Tyson.
It's just a whole bunch of aliens showing their antenna.
Oh. I almost made a political joke there. Not this show. Thursday. Hang on for Thursday. This, in our weekly, all right, Science Bitch, explain things to me.
Okay. Science Bitch reporting in.
This is from Science Alert. In 2015, a psychologist in Italy figured out how to induce a drug-free altered state of consciousness by asking 20 volunteers to sit and stare into each other's eyes for 10 minutes straight, a.k.a. every flirty, awkward first date.
Were they blinking? Were they allowed to blink?
I would assume so. Have you ever tried to not blink for 10 minutes?
Well, because... Well, how do you mean pronounced they tape their eyes open? Ludovisco machine? The thing from Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, the way they keep their eyes called? Open. Just go with okay. that. The thing from Clockwork Orange.
It's named after the dude who invented it. His name was weird.
Yeah.
But they could have done it like that.
Would they just go in there every so often?
Yeah, with eyedroppers. Clockwork Orange.
So,
which sounds terrifying.
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of important because I feel like if that's true, you're putting the body in more stress.
Yes.
Which could,
cortisol can cause a whole lot of hallucinations.
Which can, yeah, lead to symptoms like that.
But see, I don't know if it's just keeping your eyes open for that long or it was the fact of staring into someone else's eyes, because they really hit on the eyes thing.
Well, if they're keeping their eyes open, if they're doing this experiment and they think we want to see what happens if they stare at each other, but we have to make sure they are constantly staring at each other, they're going to say, if you stare at each other for 10 minutes, this happens, because that's what we saw when they stared at each other for 10 minutes, even though it might be more connected to how they made them stare at each other.
Okay, there's something in there that might dispel that. Not only did the deceptively simple task bring on strange out-of-body experiences to volunteers, it also caused them to see hallucinations of monsters, their relatives, and themselves in their partners' faces. The experiment, run by Giovanni Caputo from the University of Urbino, involved having 20 young adults, 15 of which were women. That's important, probably. Pair off, probably not, sit in a dimly lit room 1 meter away from each other and stare into the other partner's eyes for 10 minutes. The lighting in the room was bright enough for the volunteers to easily make out the facial features of their partner, but low enough to diminish their overall color perception. A control group of 20 more volunteers were asked to sit and stare for 10 minutes in another dimly lit room in pairs, but the chairs were facing a blank wall. The volunteers were told very little about the purpose of the study, only it had to do with a, quote, meditative experience with eyes open. The participants in the eye-staring group said they had a compelling experience unlike anything they felt before, wrote Christian Jarrett for the British Psychological Society's Research Digest. That was a lot to say there. The results recalled what Caputo found back in 2010 when he performed a similar experiment with 50 volunteers staring at themselves in a mirror for 10 minutes. Quote, the participants' descriptions included huge deformations of their own faces, seeing the faces of alive or deceased parents, archetypal faces such as old women, children or the portrait of an ancestor, animal faces such as cats, pigs, and lions, and even fantastical and monstrous beings. All 50 participants from the previous one reported feelings of otherness when confronted with a face that seemed suddenly unfamiliar. Some felt powerful emotions. So there was a control group. And I didn't write it all down because I was trying to save space because this stuff went on forever. Mm-hmm. But the control group didn't see it. It was only the group that saw into each other's eyes that experienced these crazy hallucinations.
So when you kind of just daze off, have you ever just kind of been sitting there staring at something, not purposely staring at it, but then you just kind of daze off and things start to blend together?
No.
Okay. Well, I have. Things start to blend together and what you're looking at isn't really what you were looking at before, but you need it can't be blank. It can't be like a blank wall.
Yeah, there has to be.
There has to be something for your brain to work with. Yeah.
You know what you are? You're the kind of Scully that if you saw a ghost walking in front of you and you shook your head and it was
but
gone, you would think,
boy,
that was some crazy lighting from the crack in the wall that made me think I saw this legitimate ghost right in front of me. You have to explain things with your science craziness, and you can't just accept the fact that there are monsters living in each other's eyes.
Okay.
They're called homunculi, hello?
Especially, yes. They also dimmed the lights, so even whenever you are focused, things aren't fully there. Our brain loves to fill in pictures when we don't have all the information.
So
it's a common problem with ghost sightings.
You ever can't sleep?
No, serious. I'll come back to it in a second.
And stare at the ceiling?
Well, our room is pitch black.
Oh.
But I know the ceiling's up there. Okay. But I have before, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you ever have that moment where like what you're focusing on the ceiling is still clear, but everything around that is like almost shifting? Like it's not, but your brain has kind of tuned it out as background noise and it just kind of
floats.
Yeah.
I've sat in a car driving at a stoplight and you look at the road.
Well, no, you're stopped at a stoplight.
Yes. And you look at the road in front of you, and even though you know you're not moving, you can see the road shifting forward.
Exactly.
Yes. I've experienced that.
That, mixed with the fact that humans want to place things in a way that their brain understands. It's why you see faces in
everything.
And the fact that whereas it might be kind of pseudoscience, there have been connections with locking gaze. So a lot of hypnotists will use gazes to like... Oh.
Is that a tractor? What was that?
It looked like a lawnmower or something. Okay. Right. But a lot of hypnotists will use gaze to kind of put people in suggestive.
Yeah, the power of suggestion. Yeah. And
a lot of mentalists do this too,
right?
And it's like that part might be a little bit pseudoscience, but there's something there that we don't quite understand, and I think it's a combination, like a cocktail of all those things.
So you think these people were basically almost putting themselves in a trance, and then their brain was running wild with pictures?
Well, especially
and images
if it's
that
a
they could see.
It's a experiment about meditation. If they're trying to put them in a meditative state with their eyes open, like, have you ever meditated really deep meditation to the point that you're basically dreaming?
Yeah, you're just floating.
Yeah. That with your eyes open might look really weird.
Right.
Like, that's just, meditation can do weird things to your brain. So.
Right. And Allie, back to what I said I was going to come back to, in ghost hunting, and if Tanner were here, he could back me up on this, one of the most common things is that people will see in a very pixelated image or in something that's not crystal clear, or if you looked into the woods and you saw light hitting leaves the right way, their brains will form images. That's a person. That's a person's face when there's nothing really there. Your brain wants to see it.
Your brain wants to make sense of what it's seeing, and it can only make sense of what it's seeing with knowledge it already has. And it's constantly doing that. I remember whenever I was a kid, whenever we lived in Pennsylvania and we shared a room, I remember having a dream, and there was this big...
Wait, is this the Fruit Hill or Penn State?
Penn State. Okay. I don't remember Fruit Hill that much.
Okay.
I remember having this dream, and in this dream, me and Calvin were being chased by this, like, almost orange fluffy elephant thing. It was almost, what's his name, Bing Bong from Inside Out, but orange... and, like, had long fur. It was weird. And I remember, wait. I remember waking up from it and going, that was so weird. And then seeing the silhouette of that monster and a shadow on the wall. Because sometimes I sleep with my eyes half open.
I know.
And my brain saw that, created this monster
based on the shape
and it was similar enough to like an elephant.
In ghost hunting we call it matrixing, when your eyes see things that aren't really there because your brain wants to see something. Mm-hmm. And I just find it odd that she can't remember Ichabod Crane, but she remembers Bing Bong.
Disney! It's what they do.
Wasn't Sleepy Hollow a Disney film?
I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
I was going to say, I doubt it.
But they did, they did a Legend of Sleepy Hollow movie, but it didn't have Johnny Depp, so she didn't see it. Hey, speaking of UFOs and unidentified things, this is from Politico. And I normally quote stories from Politico on the show, but not this show. Normally it's the Thursday show. Today we've got a story from Politico that pertains to us. A top Republican on the House Homeland Security Committee is accusing the Navy of withholding information about reports of unidentified aircraft after officially requesting more data on the mysterious encounters. I said committee. I stressed it. Because apparently earlier I said, what is it? Committee?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Committee.
Which is not a word. Representative, or maybe it's Republican. It could go either way. Mark Walker of North Carolina, the ranking member of the Intelligence and Counterterrorism Subcommittee, asked Secretary Richard Spencer in July to outline what resources the Navy is dedicating to investigating these sightings. He also asked if officials have found physical evidence to substantiate the claims and whether they are aware of any foreign nations or private companies that have introduced breakthrough technologies that could explain them. Walker said he is discouraged by the Navy's seeming unwillingness to provide. Seeming is a weird word if you think about it. Seeming.
Well, are you like hemming something? Is that seeming?
I keep wanting to say seemingly, because for some reason that word feels like a word I should be saying. Seeming unwillingness to provide his committee with more data about the so-called unidentified aerial phenomena, the term the Pentagon prefers over the more traditional unidentified flying objects or UFOs.
Aerial phenomena.
Which I guess makes sense, but I mean, so that's... But that could be something else. If there was an unidentified aerial phenomena, UAP.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I said seemingly. Yeah. if there is fireworks in the sky that you don't know what they are, that would be unidentified aerial phenomena.
Yes.
That
happened over last 4th
when they did the smoke rings. Because Lindsay took a picture of it and freaked out. I didn't know about it, so I thought it was cool. But to me, that is very, very different from unidentified flying objects. Because an unidentified flying object is like a, not sentient, but
it's moving with control. Purpose.
Yeah. Anywho, back to this. Which, yeah, get your stuff straight, government. UAP, that's never going to catch on. Mark.
That might be their point.
To get people to stop talking about it. Mark Walker said, while I'm encouraged the Undersecretary of the Navy confirmed that UAP encounters are fully investigated, there is frustration with the lack of answers to specific questions about the threat the superior aircraft flying in United States airspace may pose. If the Navy believes that China or Russia possesses advanced aerospace technologies that represent a national security vulnerability, the American people have the right to know what their government is doing about it, he told Politico. And yes, absolutely. How many times do we have to stress that on this show? That when you say, and maybe that's why they use UAP.
Get away from UFOs.
To get away from the stigma that people that see UFOs are nut jobs. Because it is very, very vital to the security of our nation that if there are crafts of terrestrial design that are flying over the United States and we don't know what they are, that's a problem. That's something we need to know about it. It's not science fiction. It's not insane. This could be a legitimate risk to the United States. So why are we not taking it more seriously? I never thought the Republicans would be on my side. Thanks.
I appreciate it. How you're aggressive about that.
Well, they make me so mad sometimes. But in this case, I absolutely agree with them. And I think this is something that really needs to be stressed, because there have been so, not just the sightings from, you know, the 50s and the 60s and the Foo Fighters and all that stuff, but I'm talking about like current Navy sightings by pilots, by officers that have seen stuff that they can't explain. And if they're not being taken seriously on this, then who better to make a judgment call on unidentified, aerial phenomena than people that work in this industry? So I don't understand why this is so hard. Maybe they know something that they think we don't need to know, and so they're not making it public. I mean, God knows they do that. But at the same time, I feel like we should be able to know about it. I mean, with the Freedom of Information Act and everything we've done, I feel like these kind of things should be unsealed. There's a television show that I used to watch that I don't watch anymore. It's not good. It wasn't good then, but I did watch it, called Unsealed Alien Files. And you hear the name Unsealed Alien Files and go, that sounds like a bad show. But I loved it, and it basically it came out after the Freedom of Information Act when all of they unsealed all these records of these UFO sightings.
And that when they unsealed Project Blue Book stuff, too.
I think it was after Blue Book. People knew what Blue Book was, but I don't know how much of it was unsealed. And 90% of it's still redacted.
Yeah.
You know, like it's blacked out. So even with the Freedom of Information Act, we still don't know anything. The stuff that the Navy blew off the oven, I don't know. Use your own damn terms here. Make it up in your head. What they reported on in the past year or two has been the most explosive and legitimate reporting of UFOs in the history of the United States, I think. And we're still not doing anything about it. Like, what is it going to take? Does it take a UFO landing and some dumbass elk hunters seeing it to finally get people paying attention? Because that happened too. Go back 30 minutes ago. We talked about it. Get with the program. All right. We got more.
Why aggressive? Like,
I'm sorry. I get heated when it comes to stuff like this because there should be some things that everybody agrees on. And I feel like United States security should be one of them. Whether you're a Democrat, Republican, whether you believe in UFOs or not, the security of the United States should be important to you. And look, I know I'm guilty of going on long rants about presidents who may or may not have drawn, hurricane trajectories with Sharpie or, you know, things like that. He did that.
Did you not hear about that?
He absolutely did that. But this is one of those times I'm thinking, like, let's maybe spend not 24 hours a day talking about something Trump tweeted, and let's talk about something that could really impact the United States. That's my thing on that. I think Ali's going to pull up the so I'll tell them what happened. So basically, remember Hurricane Dorian?
Yeah.
Well, Trump tweeted out that Alabama was going to be hit by
it. I heard that part.
Well, they refuted it and like, no, that's not going to happen. So Trump presented a map showing the original trajectory of Dorian with the I think she has a picture.
He doesn't even know how like these maps work.
He literally drew on with Sharpie.
It's not following the
trail.
Yeah. He just like added it on to the end.
Yeah. But that's a different show. That's a different show. I'm already going to piss enough people off here tonight.
Doesn't the trajectory, like, this is a serious question. Doesn't the trajectory change dramatically when it landfalls?
It does. And it changed the map that he had because he presented another map that was outdated hours before he made the tweet. Hmm. So at one point, he may have actually been right that Alabama could have seen something from it. But by the time he tweeted out about it, it had already been proven that that was not going to happen. So he was making people afraid for no reason.
Yeah.
Which is a problem. And it should have ended there. It didn't. Stay tuned to Thursday. We'll talk about it again. We talked about it last Thursday. Let's move on.
Okay.
This is from Gizmodo. Love Gizmodo. One of my favorite sites. Instead of developing an intricate electronic card skimmer or pulling off an elaborate online scam, a cashier in Japan used the most undetectable tool imaginable to steal the credit card info of over 1,300 customers. His immaculate and instant photographic memory.
Brains.
Turns out the most dangerous monster was humans. Yusuke Taniguchi, a 34-year-old part-time working cashier.
Is it really Yusuke?
Yusuke.
Are you sure it's not Yusuke?
Maybe Yusuke. Okay. That's actually, I didn't think about that. Let's say with that. That's because Yusuke sounds...
Usually they drop the U sound.
And it sounds too much like you could turn that into a slur. And I don't want to do that. So Yusuke Taniguchi, a 34-year-old part-time cashier working at a mall in Kodo City, Japan, was born with a memory that puts the rest of us who often struggle to recall our passwords to shame. In the time it took to cash out a customer, Taniguchi was able to memorize their name, credit card number, expiration date, and security code for later use. Police say that he admitted to using the fraudulent credit card information to buy goods that he would later sell at a pawn shop to cover his living expenses.
Wow.
Dude memorized over 1,300 customers' credit card info in the briefest of seconds that it took to ring them out.
Now, I'm going to say something to make this sound less impressive. It's not impressive. That's not what I'm saying. But he memorized one, then wrote it down,
And then memorized another.
And then memorized another. It wasn't he kept all of these in his brain.
That's true. When you say it like that, it does sound less impressive.
But still, can you memorize even just your normal credit card number, not this?
I couldn't tell you what it is right now.
Security? No, yeah, exactly. No.
So, yeah, good. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he's at trial now or if he's been already put in jail. I imagine he's probably going to get some serious trouble for that because that's 1,300 people. That's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, this is from Fox News. See? I'm fair. A couple from Missouri, which is where we're from, claims that their house is haunted and they can't live on the property anymore. Instead of trying to sell it, however, they're hoping to give thrill seekers a truly unique experience by placing the location on Airbnb, as you would do if you had something like that. According to the couple, the first group to rent it couldn't even make it through the first night, which is completely unsubstantiated.
Why do I feel like if anything happens, I'm going to be like, they planted like things in the walls.
See, that's why I can't go on any kind of haunted ghost tours.
Right.
Whenever they, even if it's a supposedly haunted place, and they're like, well, we'll give you a tour and show it to you and talk you through it. So, like, I want to explore it on my own. Let me go off on my own. Yes. So, I want to go to Limp Mansion, but I don't want to go to their like Halloween tours. Yeah. You're going to try to scare people. That's not what I want.
You're going to have your cell phone hooked up to all the Bluetooth things and
spooky noises.
Yeah.
Well, this couple, they bought the house in August 2017. They moved in October, and I guess the gentleman of the house, Aaron Clark, says, my family and I started really noticing the odd events around Christmas time. My dog acted weird the moment we moved in, but thought he was being stubborn. The sounds got worse as we stayed, and it graduated to TVs turning on at full volume, to space heaters turning on by themselves, and of course my daughter sleepwalking and talking in tongues. The shifty movement almost as though she was possessed. What makes that unique is she would never do this anywhere else. She would stay the night at her grandmother's house and would be fine, but once she came back home, she would start back up again. First off, the quote that I just said, I copied down verbatim from Fox News' site. I fixed a lot of what they put. Their version said that she would stay the night at her grandmother's house and would be fun, but once she came back home, she would start back up again. And maybe they meant that. Maybe he said she would be fun, but what I think is that somebody at Fox News isn't
paying attention.
They're not paying attention there. They're not proofreading this stuff. Aaron also confirmed that he and his wife both saw a tall man in a suit and a top hat out of the corner of their eyes.
Was just from Haunting of Hill House.
That's true. Which
I thought she was going to call me out.
Are you?
I have a top hat and I'm tall.
Are you haunting this guy's house? Is this what you do at night when you leave here? If you're curious, like I was. The house in question is the Hobo Hill House.
Hobo Hill House.
The Hobo Hill House in Jefferson City.
I am more and more dubious.
And you can rent it for $275 a night.
Nah.
Now, to be fair, it's big. Like, I was looking through it. It's multi-bedroom. It looks like if I were staying somewhere and we had a group, I would stay there. In fact, I'm thinking of staying there.
So,
because I want... You know who lives in Jeff City?
Yes.
Matthew Sin.
Yes.
Friend of the show. Uh-huh. Longtime companion.
Yes.
I've always wanted to go visit Matt in Jeff City. If I can do that and stay at a haunted Airbnb, I think that's worth the price alone.
Do you think it's haunted?
No.
Or do you think they were just like, hey, we need to make more money. Have you heard of Airbnb? Yeah, but everyone has an Airbnb. But what if we have a haunted Airbnb?
I think the power of suggestion. If you are a random person, let's say you're a college student and you and your friends are going to go stay at this place and you heard that this place was haunted and they couldn't stay the night. You go in there, the first time you hear a creak or a noise,
you're gonna go, what was that?
Your brain's going to go into overdrive.
Be like, well, it was a ghost.
But see, I'm not like that. You put me in this house, I will investigate it. And I will tell you whether or not I actually think it's haunted. So I would love to stay at this place.
Here's things in the walls. Whenever we leave, there's just holes
punched
in the walls. I had to figure out what the noise was.
Yeah, I'm going
to
cut walls. I mean, obviously.
I'm not just going to not investigate that sound.
Well, I'd be doing myself a disservice as an investigator. I would love to go to this place. I'm legitimately thinking about taking a trip up to Jeff City, visiting Matt Sin.
How many people are you going to get to go with you?
I'd say probably 5 or 6 if I could. Split the cost, because this, like I said, this place is like 5-6 bedroom. Like, it's a big place. I've never used Airbnb, but I've always heard good things about it. So I would love to do this, and we might actually do this. In fact, that could be our Halloween special. We could go to Jeff City and film are investigating a haunted Airbnb. Think about it.
If you're wanting most of PZ85 to go, it would have to be a Monday.
We'll shut the store down.
Like Sunday night to Monday.
Yeah. Think about it. I mean, it could just be a night.
Yeah.
It could just be a night. So, if you'd like to see us go to...
I have cameras.
Hobo Hill, Missouri. And investigate... Oh, I'm sorry. The Hobo Hill House. In Jeff City, Missouri. Let us know, because we would love to do that for you. All right. My throat's starting to get sore.
Support us on Patreon.
Yeah, but but Jesse won't let us take that money for it, probably. He's a Grinch. He only uses it for equipment and stuff. But this is podcast related.
We would be implementing the equipment.
Yeah. This would be podcast related.
Yeah.
So I think this is a solid thing. It's a good thing. All right, let's talk about, you know what? Allie, what was that?
That was your notes.
Notes are gone. Threw them behind me. Let's talk about God. Go ahead. You start.
Which deity?
The God. A God. The one true God. Allegedly.
Those are very different things.
So, when I was growing up, I believed in God.
Wee lad Shannon?
What?
Wee lad Shannon?
Yes. Never wee. Was a lad. I believed in God growing up. The moment I stopped believing in God, I think, the moment I truly put God out of my head was when my mom passed away. Because I was always told, you pray hard enough, you believe hard enough, miracles happen and all that stuff. My mom was in the hospital for months on machines.
To be fair, the pray hard enough thing, that's not in the Bible. Like,
a lot of things aren't in the Bible.
Right, I know. I'm just saying. Like,
but I thought, you know, power of prayer. Because the first thing you see whenever a tragedy happens is pray.
Yeah.
Pray for them. Pray for this.
Our prayers are with you. And
yeah. If you're a Texas lawmaker, instead of putting in legislation that could stop gun violence, you say to just pray for the guns. I'm sorry. You pray for the people.
Pray the bullets away.
I'm sure he already prays for the guns.
You pray and ban video game demos at your Walmart.
That will stop all the bad things. So I tried to use the power of prayer to help my mom get through that. And in one of the most painful, ironic moments of my life, maybe not ironic, but just cruel, it was probably a week before she passed away. And my mom was basically in kind of a waking coma at this point. She'd gone in for open heart surgery. Everything seemingly went well. Seemingly went well. And then she got sick. They put her in ICU. They couldn't figure out. She got sick. It got to a point where, when I would talk to her, she saw things. She saw bugs on the wall. She saw stuff that I clearly could see wasn't there. So that eventually turned into her just eyes open, not responding. We would go visit her I worked at Stephen Berry's at the time. We'd go visit her every day, if I could, after work. Lindsay and I would go visit her, even if it was just for 30 minutes. And she would, eyes open, but she wouldn't respond. I'd talk to her. I'd, you know, wave my hand. There was nothing there. So I was thinking the worst. But, you know, I prayed. I did. I don't use prayer very often, but I prayed. And this is the cruel part. There was one time a week before she died where we went in and they told me she was doing better. So I'm trying to get through this without like tearing up or anything. So I go in and she's not really setting up, but she's kind of setting up and she's awake and she's alert. She sees me. She smiles and all that. So we talk to her. She can't talk because she's got, you know, tube going down her throat. But she's responding, which is the first time she's responded in weeks, months. I asked Lindsay. I said, will you give me a moment with my mom? Just me and her. So Lindsay walks outside. Mom and I are talking, and I just pour my heart out to her. And I tell her, I was really scared you were going to die. I didn't know what I was going to do without you. I love my mom. My mom was very important to me. And she smiles and she nods and, you know, we hug. And it was great. I went home. I told Dad, she's doing better. For the first time, I can tell you she's doing better. And a week later, she was dead. It was the only time she ever came out of it. She never came out of it again. So it was at that point that I felt so betrayed by God. Almost like a sick joke was being played on me by some higher power. And through all the years since then, no matter what I've read, no matter what I've studied, because I study a lot, I read a lot, I have never given God a chance again, because I have seen no evidence that he either exists or that he is good. And even if he did exist, and I knew for a fact he existed, I don't think I could ever support some entity that can be so cruel with people's lives.
What's the philosopher? It's if God is good, then if God is good and all powerful, then why does evil happen?
Yeah.
He's either not all powerful, then why call him God? Or he is not good.
Right.
Then why worship him? Like, kind of a thing. Anything, I forget the exact quote, but that's the gist of it.
Yeah.
I know I've heard one that was, if God is all powerful, he can't be all good.
Yeah.
And if God is all good, he can't be all powerful. And it's true. I've tried to figure out the version of God that makes the most sense to me. But it, no matter how I slice it up, something doesn't add up. And again, if you listen to the pre-show especially, and I'll throw it out again here, if you are religious, I'm not saying that you're wrong and that I'm right. This is just my own personal journey through this with God. But it's called I Want to Believe because I want to believe in God. I want to believe that there is something out there beyond this, because this...
That's bigger.
That's bigger, and that, you know, where is my mom? Where is my dad? I've brought this little girl up so many times because when I think of like some of the most cruelest things that could ever happen in life, the 10-year-old girl that was raped repeatedly and killed and dismembered, where is she? Is this the only life she gets? That's her existence, was to be raped and murdered? Like, and again, if there is a God and God has the power to stop this, if the same God that can save someone's child or their sister or their father, and you say that was a miracle, God was looking out for us that day, why did he look out for them, but he didn't look out for this 10-year-old girl that was raped and murdered? And there's nothing you can tell me that will convince me that it's okay. God has a plan, anything like that, I don't give a shit. That's cruel. And if God can play with people's lives like that of, well, I will save this person, but not this person, that sounds awful. And you can't convince me that's not awful. And people have tried. And I listen because I want to believe. I want you to convince me that God is good. But I haven't found it yet. And I don't know if I'm going to get messages after this show saying, well, let me come to my church.
No, probably.
You can invite me to every church you want to invite me to. I've never seen one that was different than another. You know, little things change here and there. But the overall message is the same.
The songs are different. The faces are different.
The faces are different. The TVs are different. You know, but the backdrops are different, but it's all the same. It is this.
If you kneel or not is different.
Yeah.
It's this blind faith, which I'll be honest, I'm very envious of, because one of my biggest fears in life, in fact, the only thing I'm afraid of in life is death, which is real inconvenient because that's also the only thing that's guaranteed.
You want a platitude for that? That I think was,
I don't know what that means.
A similar.
Yes, please.
Philosopher.
You could have just said similar philosophy and not made me look like an idiot.
Well,
what is a platitude?
Because
it sounds like a stupid animal.
A platypus?
Yes, but with attitude.
Well, but with attitude?
Platitude.
A platitude. Is it Perry?
We'll pray for you is a platitude, but it's like a it's a conversational thing that's supposed to make you feel better, but may or may not have a deeper meaning behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is that this philosopher is, he's not scared of death. Because when he's alive, death has not come. But when he's dead, he doesn't care because he's dead.
Like, that's true. But like, and I agree. That's a great way to look at it. Is
yeah.
If you're alive, that means you're not dead. So why worry about it? And when you're dead, doesn't matter because you're dead. But at the same time, it's hard for me because
it's hard to grapple with immortality.
It's hard to grapple with
mortality.
Yeah. The fact that you could just cease to exist. And we talked about this a lot on our very first episode, the afterlife episode. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to focus on necessarily what happens when you die. I want to focus on the being himself or herself or itself or whatever. I had my brother dated a girl that did things that she wasn't supposed to. She was, you know, that went against church teachings, but she was very religious. And she, you know, I asked her once and I pissed her off horribly, but I asked her, justify that. Justify you doing all these things that you know are against your religion and you still claim to be religious. And she said, and it's another one of those things that whenever I talk to religious people, they have so many just excuses. They have so many things.
Do you know what religion she was?
Because I don't.
This religion was your
that does make a difference.
She said
because she asked for forgiveness. She knew in her heart God would forgive her. But my point to her, and it's the reason she stormed out immediately after, was that if you really had it in your heart that you were sorry to God, you wouldn't do it over and over again. Like, God's not stupid.
Do you want a joking platitude?
Of course. That's why I'm here.
If you don't sin, then Jesus died for nothing.
That reminds me of King of the Hill when they're talking about Luann, and she says, if young people like Luann didn't sin, I'd be out of the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you say that to her. If you were really sorry, you wouldn't do it. What about an addict?
Yeah.
Well, yes,
would you say that to them?
But she wasn't... I don't think she was really sorry. She wasn't regretful of what she was doing. She just knew that if she asked for forgiveness, she would be forgiven.
Yeah.
I think it matters what's in your heart, because I have done things that I'm not proud of or happy about, and I didn't want to do them, and I'm sorry I did them, and I'm legitimately sorry I did them, and I've done them again. But it's, you know, sometimes it just feels like you can't help it. Well, it's not that you are trying to do it. You just can't stop yourself. You're watching yourself from the inside.
There are some times where it's a catch-22. It's the lesser of two evils. You have to do it, even though you know it's wrong. And I'm struggling to find an example that isn't a personal story. I don't want to incriminate myself, but
Tell us.
No.
Open up to us. I got Dr. Phil online too.
The idea is that you can be regretful and show, like, you can
be remorseful.
Yeah, about something as you're doing it.
Yeah. Well, like addicts, like Allie said.
Yeah.
Or.
But it can be a decision to do that thing, and you can still show remorse for it. And a lot of Christian people see it as long as I show remorse, I'm good. And that's not necessarily true.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also not necessarily not true.
Well, we have...
Because of how the Bible is worded, it's...
It's up in the air.
Well, it's vague.
It's like humans wrote it.
Yeah.
Well, humans did write it, like, legitimately, right?
Yeah,
humans wrote it,
but it's vague, mostly because they didn't, when it was written, a lot of these scenarios didn't exist in the same way.
Yeah, kind of like the Second Amendment. When the Second Amendment was written, it wasn't so every household could have an AR-15.
I mean, sure. Also, I thought you weren't getting political.
Oh, I'm not. I'm not going to get political on this show. So we have a president who says he has never asked God for forgiveness and yet is a Christian, quote unquote, a good Christian man.
Is he taking communion?
Oh,
because that is literally asking God for forgiveness.
See, the one time I went to church with you guys.
Yeah.
I remember communion, if I'm correct, that's the whole...
That's the bread and wine.
I refused it. Refused it because I didn't want to insult God by saying yes when I personally didn't believe it. And I don't even know if I believe in God, but I don't not believe in God. So I do know that I have asked forgiveness from God many times for the things that I've done, and I feel no peace. I've asked God many times for a sign, and I've got nothing. I've begged, I've pleaded, and it's so easy to take little things.
To read into it.
And read into it and turn that into what you want it to be. So if I said, give me a sign, God.
Just like it's easy to see faces and...
Matrixing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I keep telling God, I'm simple. I don't need you to, you know, send a Jehovah's Witness to my door that may or may not help me unlock the keys to everything. I need you yourself to show up in my mirror and go, yeah.
Have you heard about John Smith?
Which one? 1882, or that's a Simpsons joke.
Yeah.
Anyway, if God is all powerful, then it should be a drop in the hat for him to appear and say, yes, I'm sorry about your mom.
Yeah, but then it wouldn't be on faith.
But what's the point?
The point is,
like, what's the point of, yes, he is absolutely real, but you have to believe he is real. you have to love him every day, but he's also the perfect being. Not going to
give you anything in return.
He's going to give you eternal happiness.
Well, no, I mean, he's not going to reassure you about it.
No, he will leave you out to dry, and it's up to you to continue to believe in him. And I know a lot of people that believe in God just because either they're supposed to, they've been told to, or because they want to get into heaven. Mm-hmm. And I would never pay lip service to God just because I want something from him. The only thing I want from God is to know he exists. That's literally all I've ever asked God for, is just show me so I can get on with my life and I won't have to sit here and wonder about all these things I wonder about all the time. And if God is perfect, then why all of the smoke and mirrors?
So here's a question. And this is devil's advocate. By the way,
there are so many people at home right now, I guarantee it, who are religious, that are picking up their phones to call in the hotline that doesn't exist, and they're frustrated. Now you know how I feel when I'm on the phone with God.
So God's supposed to be perfect, right?
Yes, that's what I've always heard.
Right? Okay. God creates the universe, right?
Yes.
So a lot of people are going to say that I'm going to go, but then there was original sin. So how could he create the universe if he's perfect with original, like that original sin happened? But how can God exist and the universe exist at the same time if one of them isn't perfect? God is supposed to be infinite. He's supposed to be in all things. He's supposed to be Alpha and Omega, which means the universe he created is still him.
Mm-hmm.
How can the universe not be perfect if he exists?
We are made in his image.
Look, I look at it like the Sims.
So how can we have sinned? And like, this is...
Well, because of free will.
Okay, then how is free will perfect?
You're asking... You're right? Preaching to the choir. No,
it's a devil's advocate thought experiment, and different denominations have gotten different answers to these questions. And I'm not going
to
go over all of them.
I'm probably
not going to go over any of them.
Good.
But if you're religious out there, talk to somebody about it.
Yeah.
Like, go to your pastor or minister or whoever you have and make sure that that is something that you can resolve internally.
Yeah, I can't resolve anything internally. That's my biggest problem. I look at it like The Sims. Imagine you are God. And The Sims is your universe, right?
Yes.
You are a good person,
people for the most part. People have done awful things on The Sims.
People have done awful things. You know why?
Because there's no repercussions.
Well, yeah, there's no repercussions for God. Also, if you are so arrogant to think that God owes you anything because he created you, you're insane.
But you're part of God.
You're a creation of God.
He owes himself.
When I play The Sims... I created those Sims.
I'm trying to confuse you now.
No, I want to talk about The Sims. It's a good game. I feel no attachment to them.
Yeah.
So even if it's a Sim I like.
But are you the Sim?
Sometimes.
But are you...
And I still torture him. You know what?
Self-sabotage?
Because it's easy. It's easy to not care about others' lives. It's easy not to care, especially when they're so insignificant compared to your own.
Yeah, but what if it was part of you?
Isn't it, though? If I created it, isn't it part of me?
In the same way that God and the universe are the same?
I don't think God just pulled out a rib and suddenly it was the universe.
No, that was Adam.
That was Adam.
Yeah.
If God created everything, I'm sure, I mean, we're talking, you know, technical stuff here and it's not the same, but God creating the universe and creating people in the same way that humans create Sims. You make people, you make a world, and you put them in it, and then you let them live. And then divine intervention would state that I could interfere with the Sims' lives. But if I interfere with the Sims' lives, then I'm not really neutral. And
right.
if I'm interfering, then I'm tipping the scale towards me. And if the point of prayer and faith is you have to believe in something, then you're cheating. And if you're cheating, you're not perfect.
So I would say probably using Sims as a comparison to the relationship between God and
creation.
His creation is probably not that great.
Why?
No, you know what? Reference only three people listening will get. That is a better correspondence. Have you ever played Dwarf Fortress?
No. I played Spore.
Okay, I can roll with that.
Probably because it's a game. You pick it up, you create these characters, you do whatever you want with it. You can put it down, go on with the rest of your life. A better connection would be having a child.
No, what makes you think that God looks at us any differently than we look at an ant? Because other people have told you he does? Where is the proof? Where, when people are suffering, when children are being raped and murdered, when people are crying for help, and God doesn't do anything, where is the proof that God cares about you?
Oh, no,
other than other people telling you God cares about you?
He's doing something. He's telling you not to masturbate.
He never told me that. And I do. And I did. No, and I'm being serious. I know that's a very nihilistic way of looking at things. And I don't want to be that way. So that's the point of all this, is that I don't want to believe this. I want to believe that that exists. Because that sounds amazing, that all of the suffering is for a reason. There is something out there for everybody. But I cannot fathom how God cares about humanity when we are just... To us, we're the most important things in this universe. But to someone that created universes endlessly, we're just another science experiment. So why would he care about us when he could just make a new civilization with the snap of a fingers? What makes you think God cares?
Also, how do we know that we're not just one of many that he created?
That's true.
Already?
And again, if you're at home and you're going, you son of a bitch, I don't want to believe this. I want to believe in something better. And I am on a journey to find that better.
Nihilists don't want to believe something. So you're not a nihilist, just so you know.
Just a sociopath.
Well,
I've been told.
If you are going to believe something, you have to question it.
That's true.
You have to...
But if you question it, do you have faith?
You have... Whenever, especially with something like religion, when literally you talk to someone, they have a different belief than someone else. You can walk into a church and every person in that church has a different belief than the person sitting next to them.
Every person has an agenda.
Well, also every person has individual experiences.
They have different things that motivate them and make them believe. So when you're sitting in a church that's telling you that you are all believing the same thing, when in actuality you have very different beliefs, you have to question things. You have to figure out what makes sense for you.
But the part that always got me about that, and I agree, but the part that always got me was whenever I look at a lot of kind of standard religious beliefs, that homosexuality is bad, that murder obviously is bad. I'll give you that one. That is terrible. But like homosexuality, take that for example. I don't believe that's bad. I don't believe that there's anything wrong with being gay. But... If the actual religion is gay, homosexuality is bad, if that is the actual religion, then just because that doesn't make sense to me, I can't be a part of it then.
So, I haven't been able to check this because it requires getting really old copies of Bibles. But someone said that at one point, the verse in the Bible that condemns homosexuality changed. That it used to not say. It used to say young man.
Okay, but check what you just said. You heard from somebody.
Yes, I know. And I also said before that I haven't checked this.
I know.
But it's also possible.
Well, anything's possible.
Yes, anything is possible.
And I'm not
but
trying...
But again, it also goes back to... Because I don't believe it's wrong. I don't. And
well, actually... The young man thing, because then it's talking about men as in, like, the human race.
And it's talking about...
Pedophilia.
Yes.
And I don't... Is there another reference to pedophilia in the Bible?
That's... I don't know. Like, I haven't... But
I'm pontificating.
It also goes back to... Man wrote the Bible. And like you said, everyone has an agenda.
Right.
So there, it's very hard to...
Brings me back to my point when you said, you know, it's more like having children and God, the connection. Why? When has God ever said that? And not just people telling you that that's God's love.
So if we are made in God's image.
Which we don't even know.
according to the Bible.
Okay, so
which was written by man.
Yes. You have to, somewhere, to build a belief, you have to decide that something to you is true. You have to. You can't constantly sit there and be like, well, it could be this, or else you will never fall anywhere. You have to find one belief
Welcome
that something is true.
I know.
And if you fall on the belief that we are created in God's image, then why would we assume that something that we make, a child, the connection we feel with our child, something that is a nurturing connection, that God wouldn't feel it with us?
God doesn't feel rage and murder. So why would he feel connection?
He
that's
felt
actually,
rage
yeah, that's
and
not true.
Murder.
Yeah,
he did the flood.
But perfect.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But how could perfect God feel rage and murder and then kill people?
Jesus flipped the tables and
it's almost like none of it makes
people
any sense.
As they were leaving.
It makes no sense. But that's not the point of this. Again, I cannot stress enough that I know I'm questioning things, but my goal in that is not to tell you that you're wrong about your beliefs. It's that this is where I am. I am mad. I am mad at God. I am mad at religion. I am mad at people. I am envious of people who aren't mad at it, because I don't understand how you cannot be. I don't understand how you cannot be enraged at everything that's happening in the world, not just politically, but people. Human beings.
Can I tell you about our Lord and Savior, the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
You can, and then we got to get out of here.
I mean, it was a joke.
I know you did convert to Pastafarianism earlier today.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which was really, it was a sweet ceremony.
I need,
it was very sweet, but I do need that strainer back.
Yeah.
Well, Tanner, we needed to picture Tanner wearing a tinfoil hat.
Bucket.
You, or a bucket.
It's a bucket.
Then
it's
you
a
wearing
bucket.
The tinfoil hat, yeah. And me wearing the pasta strainer.
Yeah.
Like,
but seriously, she needs that back, because that's how we make pasta at home. Clearly. Oh God, are we eating his body?
Yes, you have to. It's like the
communion.
Jesus thing. It's communion.
Yeah.
It's communion.
Oh God. Well, if you're still listening.
The sauce is his blood.
Jesus. And it's
I think we should just end it there.
Yeah, that's going to do it.
All right.
Thank you guys for tuning in. If you have any questions or concerns, or if you're mad at me for what I've been saying, I'd like to talk to you about it. You know how to reach me. Facebook, Twitter, email me, podzilla1985.
The hotline is 69420.
Oh, the price went up. we'll be back tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Hopefully you'll come back. It should be a lot of fun. We have a lot to talk about. Ace is back.
Yes. Yay.
That's enjoyable. Ace is back. So we'll see you tomorrow on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Thank you guys for tuning in to I Want to Believe. Next month, don't forget, it's October. It's our month. We got some cool stuff cooked up. Tell you about it later. You guys have a good night. Remember, watch the schemes.